Have you ever had a gut feeling that turned out to be true? Or maybe you've experienced deja vu that left you wondering if you could see the future? Well, you're not alone. Many people report having unexplained intuitive experiences, and today, we're going to explore whether these might actually be signs of psychic abilities. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, this episode will challenge your perceptions and open your mind to the possibilities of human potential. So sit back, relax, and get ready to embark on a journey into the extraordinary world of psychic abilities. Who knows? By the end of this episode, you might just discover that you have more psychic potential than you ever imagined. Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone is living their best intuitive life. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're diving into the realm of psychic abilities. Get ready to open your mind as we uncover the mysteries beyond clairvoyance, clairaudience, and so much more. So grab your cozies, sip your tea, and let's begin our journey into the unknown, shall we? Let's dive right in and talk about psychic abilities. If you haven't heard the OG episode or anyone else's take on psychic abilities, then you've probably heard about psychics in movies or TVs at a minimum. But what exactly are these mysterious powers all about? Well, psychic abilities are ways of perceiving information that don't rely on our usual five senses. It's like having a superpower that allows you to tap into a different level of awareness. When we talk about psychic abilities, we often hear about the clairs. These are different ways that psychic information can come through, and they're named after the French word for clear. So let's briefly break down the most common ones. First up, we have clairvoyance. Now, this one is probably the granddaddy of psychic abilities, and it's the one you've likely heard of the most. This means clear seeing. Imagine having a mental TV screen where you can see images or visions of things that aren't physically present. That is clairvoyance. Next up, we have clairaudience, which is clear hearing. This is like having a psychic radio tuned into frequencies that others just can't hear. You might pick up on messages, sounds, or even music that seems to come from nowhere. Clairsentience. This one's all about clear feeling. It's like being an emotional sponge, soaking up the vibes and feelings of people and places around you. Ever walked into a room and instantly felt the mood? That could be clairsentience at work. Next, claircognizance. This is clear knowing. It's that gut feeling or sudden flash of insight that pops into your head out of nowhere. You just know something without knowing how you know it, you know? Next on our list is clairalience. This lesser-known ability is all about clear smelling. It's the psychic nose. It's picking up on scents that aren't physically present. Last but not least, we have clairgustance, which is clear tasting. It's like having phantom flavors appear in your mouth that are connected to physical information. But here's the thing. Psychic abilities aren't just about predicting the future or talking to spirits, although that can be part of it. Many people use these skills in everyday life to enhance their intuition, make better decisions, or connect more deeply with others. Whether you're a psychic or a believer, there's no denying that the concept of psychic abilities is utterly fascinating. It challenges our understanding of perception and consciousness, pushing the boundaries of what we think is possible. All right. Let's take a fascinating journey through time and explore the history of the clairs, those mysterious psychic abilities that have captivated human imagination for centuries. So the concept of psychic abilities or extrasensory perception has been around since, well, pretty much forever. Ancient civilizations from Egypt to Greece to China all had their own versions of seers, oracles, and prophets. But the specific clair abilities we know today, well, those have a more recent and intriguing history. Let's start with clairvoyance, and it first popped up in the early 19th century. It was coined by Marquis de Puisegur, and my deepest apologies if I butchered that name. So Marquis was a French occultist who was experimenting with mesmerism, which was an early form of hypnosis. He used it to describe the ability of some of his patients to see things beyond normal perception while in a trance-like state. Talk about a mind-bending discovery. As the 19th century rolled on, spiritualism became all the rage. This movement, which believed in communicating with the dead, really put psychic abilities in the spotlight. Mediums would claim all sorts of clair abilities to connect with the spirit world. And it was during this time that terms like clairaudience and clairsentience started to gain traction. But here's where it gets really interesting. The term psychometry, which we now know as clairtangency, was coined in 1842 by Joseph Rhodes Buchanan. Buchanan believed that all objects retained a sort of memory of their history, which could be read by simply touching them. As we moved into the 20th century, psychic abilities started getting the scientific treatment. Researchers like J.B. Ryan at Duke University began conducting experiments to try and prove the existence of things like ESP. In more recent years, we've seen the emergence of newer clairs like claircognizance and clairaliens. These terms reflect our evolving understanding of how psychic information might be perceived. Today, the clairs are a staple in the world of psychic development and spiritual practices. And why wouldn't they be? These abilities have been part of the human experience for a very long time. Let's hit pause on all this fun so that I can remind you that we have a newsletter just for you. If you want to hear about moon magic, tips for the seasons, retrograde survival goodies, all the psychic intuitive things, and everything in between, then head over to themediummatters.com/newsletter and sign up for our absolutely free monthly newsletter today, magically created just for you. Now, back to the show. So with our history lesson out of the way, let's dive into some of the most popular clairs. Let's start with the most well-known psychic ability, clairvoyance. So clairvoyance is the ability to gain information about people, places, or events through extrasensory perception. It's like having a superpower that allows you to see things beyond the range of normal human senses. Pretty cool, right? So like we said before, this word comes from French combining clair, meaning clear, and voyance, meaning vision. So literally, it's clear seeing. But we're not talking about 20/20 vision here. This is all about perceiving things that aren't physically present or visible to the naked eye. Now, you might be wondering, what can a clairvoyant actually see? Well, clairvoyants can perceive a whole range of things. They might see visions of future events. Hello, crystal ball. They could perceive spirits or entities from other realms. Some claim to see auras or energy fields around people. And others say they can visualize past events or distant locations. It's like having a mental TV that can tune into different channels of reality, which is pretty mind-blowing. But clairvoyance isn't just about seeing with your eyes closed. It's more like an inner knowing or visualization. Some clairvoyants describe it as seeing images in their mind's eye, almost like daydreaming, but with a much stronger sense of significance or reality. Now, without making things sticky, let's briefly talk about clairvoyance and mediumship, because I really think these go together like peanut butter and jelly, but with some differences, of course. So breaking these down, mediumship is the ability to communicate with spirits of deceased people. Clairvoyance is the ability to perceive visual information beyond normal sensory perception, often described as clear seeing. Mediums focus on connecting with and relaying messages from spirits of the deceased, where clairvoyance focus on receiving visual information about people, objects, or events through extrasensory means. Mediums provide information from and about deceased individuals, where clairvoyants receive visual impressions that can relate to past, present, or future events, as well as hidden or distant information. Mediums act as a channel or intermediary between the physical and spiritual worlds. Clairvoyants, on the other hand, perceive information through their mind's eye or third eye chakra. Mediumship is often sought for closure, comfort, or messages from loved ones who have passed on, whereas clairvoyance is typically used for gaining insight into different aspects of life, from relationships to career decisions. While these are different abilities, there is some overlap. Some individuals may possess both mediumship and clairvoyant abilities. So both mediums and clairvoyants do readings. Both get their information via a combination of the clairs, but they're not the same thing. Mediums connect with those who have crossed over. They connect with the dead. Clairvoyants or psychics connect with insights to provide guidance about your romantic relationship, your finances, and all the life things. All mediums are clairvoyants, but not all clairvoyants are mediums. Now, when we did the OG episode, Marie Lilly and I did talk at length about our abilities and when we discovered these. So I'm going to touch a little bit on this now. In terms of mediumship and clairvoyance, I can do both. I feel more confident connecting with spirits who have crossed over. On a very rare occasion, I will read for someone I know and answer questions about relationships, careers, and all the things. but I do not like doing it. The hard thing about reading for someone you know is that it's really challenging to distinguish between what you know and what's coming through. By that, I mean, if I know someone well, my information might be biased, but what I end up doing is I question everything that comes through. I don't feel confident, and I just feel like the session is a bust. In terms of mediumship, I've had this ability as long as I can remember. I just didn't know other people couldn't see what I saw. So the first connection I made after starting my work with Sophie, who is my beautiful friend and intuitive teacher, happened one day during a meditation. So I, at the beginning of my journey, was very diligent in meditating every single day. I loved it so much. I was really developing my intuitive abilities at like lightning speed with my daily meditations. One day during a meditation, a man came through and was dressed in a military uniform. As he came closer to me, I was able to identify who this was, and it was the father of one of my really great friends. He showed me a big heart. He showed me, I wish I could remember everything he showed me, but the long and short of the message was just that he wanted to let his son, my friend, know that he was around. He was seeing things that were happening. He was aware of some of the changes that had occurred in my friend's life. And he just wanted to say hello, tell him he is okay, and that he is checking in. Of course, immediately, I text my friend to see if he can talk really quickly. And we get on the phone, and it is just like, it is a chat fest. And he was very happy to get this information. And I felt very comfortable communicating this to him, relaying it, and just calling him out of the blue or messaging him out of the blue to give him this information, because we were incredibly close and he knew about my abilities. He knew that I was also working to develop my abilities, and he was full on board. I mean, it was such a cool experience. I will never forget it. I was so honored that his dad came through to me to ask me to relay this message. I could not have been happier to do it. Let's talk about the next Claire, and that is clairaudience. This is the ability to hear sounds or receive auditory messages from the spiritual realm. It's like having a supernatural hearing aid that tunes into frequencies beyond our normal range of perception. So the word itself literally means clear hearing, but we're not talking about acing your next hearing test here. This is all about perceiving sounds that aren't physically present in our environment. So what can a clairaudient actually hear? Well, a whole range of things. But they might hear voices or messages from spirit guides or deceased loved ones. Some clairaudients have reported hearing music or sounds from other dimensions. Others describe it as an inner voice providing guidance or insights. Some even claim to hear nature spirits or the music of the spheres. It's like having a cosmic radio in your head that can tune into different spiritual stations, right? Now, keep this in mind. Clairaudience isn't just about hearing ghostly whispers or angelic choirs. A lot of people experience clairaudience in more subtle ways. Have you ever had a song just pop into your head that perfectly fit your situation? Or maybe you've heard your name called when no one was around? These could be signs of clairaudient abilities. So like mediumship, clairaudience has been with me since before SAND. I remember hearing people call my name at home and responding with a what or a huh? And then I would call out to my grandmother and ask her if she called me. And of course, she always said no. If you've listened to any of the OG episodes, then you know some of the history, like my family's history with psychic abilities and the supernatural and the paranormal and all the things. And when I was little, I remember my grandmother being very clear about not responding when I heard my name being called. So she would always say, if you hear someone call your name and you think it's me, I mean, obviously we're the only two in the house, come and find me and ask me face to face if I called you, and I will tell you face to face if I did or did not. Do not answer when you hear your name called. And I was like, but you know, again, my grandmother grew up in the Dominican Republic. There were very different things that went on, and not because it's specific to the Dominican Republic, but because it's just the time she grew up in, the place she grew up in, and the different beliefs. So I am forever grateful for everything that she taught me, I am grateful for the boundaries that she helped me to set at a very early age. Her scaring me with things like that, not so much, but you know, here we are. I'm better for it. All right, so let's move on to our next Claire and talk clairsentience, which is clear feeling. Now, we're not talking about having a good cry during a sad movie here. This one is all about tapping into a different level of emotional awareness. So imagine walking into a room and instantly knowing the mood without anyone saying a word. Or maybe you've had that gut feeling about someone that turned out to be spot on, even though you couldn't explain why. That is clairsentience. So what can a clairsentient actually feel? Well, they might pick up on the emotions of others, even from a distance. Some report feeling physical sensations that mirror what others are experiencing. Others describe it as an inner knowing about situations or people. And some even claim to sense the energy of places or objects. It's kind of like having an emotional Wi-Fi that's always on, just picking up signals from the world around you. So clairsentience isn't just about feeling other people's emotions. A lot of people experience it in more subtle ways. Like, have you ever had the sudden urge to call a friend only to find out they were really needing to talk to you? Or maybe you felt an inexplicable sense of unease about a situation that later turned out to be problematic. These could be signs of clairsentient abilities. Moving on, let's talk claircognizance. So what exactly is claircognizance? Well, this is clear knowing, but we're not talking about acing your exams here because you just know all the answers. We're talking about tapping into a whole different level of understanding. So imagine suddenly knowing the answer to a complex problem without even having to work it out, or having an instant understanding of a situation without anyone having to explain it to you. That is claircognizance. So a claircognizant might have sudden flashes of inspiration or brilliant ideas. Some claircognizants report knowing facts about people or situations without having to be told. Others describe it as an inner knowing about future events. And some even claim to understand complex concepts immediately. Now, this ability isn't just about knowing random facts. If you've ever had a sudden urge to take a different route to work, only to find out later that there was a massive traffic jam on your usual route, or maybe you had a strong feeling about a business decision that turned out to be spot on, these could be signs of claircognizant abilities. With claircognizance, it's just a matter of tuning in and learning to trust your inner knowing. So years ago, my mom was diagnosed with a medical condition that had her fearing for her future and her life. I remember my mom being so scared and anxious all the time, and the distinct memory of us sitting in my mom's Grand Jeep Cherokee and talking this out one day. And she opened up and shared everything she had learned from her doctors. She told me her fears and everything in between. And I just sat and listened, and I felt all the love for her and just wanted to be there for her and let her say everything she possibly wanted to say without interruption. And as soon as she was done talking, I just said, "Don't worry, you're going to be fine." And I didn't say it from a place of hope. I didn't say it from a place of prayer or wishful thinking. I genuinely just knew that she was fine. I didn't feel doubt. I didn't feel worry. I just knew. There wasn't any emotion tied to it, positive or negative. It was just a knowing. And so when something like this happens for me, when something pops into my mind, when I just know like I know like I know, I just know like I know like I know. I don't really know how else to describe it, except it is just this innate knowing, like you know it in your bones, and it's just like bound to happen. Let's hit pause on our intuitive fun so that we can get September ready. On September 2nd, we have the new moon in Virgo. So get ready to set your intentions for the new moon cycle and put your manifesting magic to work. On the 17th, we have the Pisces full moon lunar eclipse. And full moons are magical by themselves, but a full moon lunar eclipse? Listen, we're going to party like it's 1999. Lastly, on September 21st, it's Mabin, or the fall equinox. The seasons are doing things and the magic, she is shifting. Make sure you mark your calendar, prepare your rituals, and let's move into the new month with all the magic we can handle. Follow the show on Instagram at The Media Matters, where I will be posting about the new moon, the full moon, the fall equinox, and all the beautiful September things to come. Now, back to our show. All right, let's dive into clair aliens. So this is all about clear smelling, but we're not talking about having a super sniffer like a bloodhound here. This is all about tapping into a different level of olfactory awareness. So imagine walking into an empty room and suddenly smelling your grandmother's perfume, even though she passed away years ago. Or maybe you've caught a whiff of freshly baked cookies when there's no bakery for miles. That is clairaliance. Now, what can a clairalien actually smell? They might smell fragrances associated with loved ones who have passed on. Some report smelling flowers or incense during spiritual experiences. Others describe catching scents that warn of danger or guide them to safety, while some even claim to smell energy or emotions. It's like having a supernatural nose that can sniff out the invisible. But clairaliens isn't just about smelling random scents. Ever smelled your favorite comfort food when you were feeling down, giving you an emotional boost? That could be clairaliens at work. Clairaliens makes her presence known from time to time for me, but there is one experience that is forever ingrained in my heart and memory. So years ago, I sadly lost my grandmother. She decided to leave me. I'm still a little mad at her about it, but you know, here we are. So right after my grandmother left, my family and I spent a lot of time at her home, packing things up and going through things and moving things into storage and all of the painful things that you have to do when you lose someone. I remember being in my grandmother's bathroom and packing up the vanity area, going through the cabinets and pulling everything out. And I found a beautiful container that used to house powder, and it was a scented powder. And I opened this container and it was empty, but it still had the powder puff inside. And I could smell this beautiful, fragrant powder that used to live in this container. And it immediately just reminded me of my grandmother. And I don't remember if I just sat there and cried, just balled up in a corner. I can only imagine what must have been going through my mind at that time. So fast forward a few days, and I am at home in my shower. I am washing my hair and doing all the shower things. And suddenly, out of nowhere, and I mean out of nowhere, this fragrance, this powder scent, just consumes. It envelops my entire bathroom. All I can smell is this powder that belonged to my grandmother. And I just stopped. And I'm just standing there like, what the hell is happening? And I open the curtain and I kind of look out, and I know I'm alone in this bathroom. It's also a very small bathroom. If someone had walked in, which it could have only been my husband at the time, but I would have known, I would have heard it. And there was nothing. There was nothing. And I knew that it wasn't anyone in the physical world, but it was definitely my grandmother just dropping in to give me a little wink and say, hey, I'm with you. It's all good. And of course, it wasn't all good, because I would have preferred for her to be there with me in the physical world. But that is a different situation. But it is things like that. They just stick with you, those kinds of memories. I've had several instances like that where I have smelled very distinct smells that I couldn't tie to anything in my immediate environment. And it just always gives me pause. Through the years, I have really worked to hit pause on whatever it is that I'm doing and try to pay attention. I try to ask my guides for assistance, for some guidance, and just gather information if I can. Sometimes I don't get anything, and sometimes I do. So it is just time and practice and all the things. But these experiences, just, I love them. So next up, we have clairgustance, and this is clear tasting. Now, again, we're not talking about like being a super taster who can detect every spice in a complex dish. This is about tapping into a whole different level of gustatory awareness. So imagine suddenly tasting your grandmother's apple pie when you're thinking about her, even though you haven't had a slice of this delicious pie in years. Or maybe you've experienced a sudden burst of sweetness in your mouth when you're about to receive good news. That is likely clairgustance. So what can a clairgustant actually taste? Well, they might taste foods associated with past memories or loved ones. Some report tasting specific flavors that correspond to emotions or energies. Others describe experiencing tastes that warn of danger or guide them to safety. And some even claim to taste the essence of a person's character. It is like having a supernatural tongue that can sample the invisible. And that is mind-blowing. Moving on, let's talk clairtangency, which translates to clear touching. Now, of course, we're not talking about having super sensitive fingertips here. This is all about tapping into a whole different level of tactile awareness. So imagine picking up an old locket and suddenly knowing its entire history, who owned it, the emotions attached to it, maybe even glimpses of important moments in its past. Or maybe you shake someone's hand and you instantly get a read on their personality or current emotional state. That is clairtangency. So what can a clairtangent actually perceive? Well, they might get flashes of an object's history or past owners. Some report feeling the emotions associated with an item. Others describe getting intuitive hunches about a person's character or intentions just from a handshake, while some even claim to solve crimes by touching evidence at a crime scene. But clairtangency isn't just about reading old antiques or solving crimes. Have you ever had a good feeling about a house you were thinking of buying as soon as you walked in? Or maybe you felt inexplicably drawn to a particular item in a store? These could be forms of clairtangency. So early in my intuitive journey, my friend and beautiful teacher Sophie encouraged me and my peers to connect with nature. So she talked about getting quiet among the flowers and the trees and just seeing what comes. So one day I took this to heart and I went into my backyard to connect with one tree in particular. I thought this tree was so beautiful and I often took the time to thank her for protecting my home and for allowing me and my family to be part of her history. So I walked up to the tree and I asked if I could place my hands on her to create a stronger connection. And after receiving what I believe to be her response, I extended my arms and gently placed my palms on her trunk and closed my eyes. Listen, within seconds, I saw what looked like a flashback to a time before my property and the property behind me were developed. Then I saw the house behind mine being built. And I mean, I could see the construction workers and the different trades moving around the house inside and out during the building process. It was one of the coolest things I have ever seen. It was my very first experience with clairtangency and one that I will never ever forget. So last on our list is clairempathy. This one translates to clear emotional perception. So we're not talking about being a good listener or a great shoulder to cry on. This is about tapping into a different level of emotional awareness. Now, imagine walking into a room and instantly feeling overwhelmed with joy, only to realize it's because your friend just got engaged. Or maybe you suddenly feel a wave of sadness wash over you and later find that a loved one was going through a really tough time at that exact moment. That is clairempathy in action. So a clairempath might experience emotions of others even from a distance. Some clairempaths report experiencing physical sensations that mirror others' emotional states. Others describe an instant understanding of the emotional undercurrents in a situation, while some even claim to feel the collective emotions of crowds or entire communities. Now, let's briefly talk science and psychic abilities. If you're like me, then you also thought these two were like oil and water. But you might be surprised to learn that researchers have been poking and prodding at these phenomena for decades. So let's break it down and see what the lab coats have discovered. First up, let's talk about the granddaddy of psychic research. The work done at Duke University by J.B. Ryan in the 1930s, who pioneered studies on clairvoyance and telepathy. He performed innovative tests like asking people to try to guess the symbols on hidden cards, and while his results were controversial, they definitely got the ball rolling on scientific investigations of psychic phenomena. Fast forward to more recent times, and we've got some pretty interesting studies on our hands. One of the most famous is the Ganzfeld experiments. These are like sensory deprivation tests for psychic abilities. Participants sit in a comfy chair with ping pong ball halves over their eyes and white noise in their ears, trying to receive telepathic information. Some studies have shown results that are significantly above chance, but skeptics argue about the methodology. Now, when it comes to clairvoyance specifically, researchers have been trying to pin down this elusive ability for years. So one interesting study was conducted by Dr. Dean Radin, who looked at what he calls presentiment. It's the idea that our bodies can react to future events before they even happen. In his experiments, people's physiological responses changed seconds before they were shown emotional images. It's like our bodies have a tiny little time machine. If that doesn't pique your interest, how about knowing that some scientists are looking at quantum physics to explain psychic abilities? They're exploring ideas like non-local consciousness and quantum entanglement to explain how information might be transferred beyond our normal senses. Now, of course, it's not all positive results. A lot of studies have failed to find evidence for psychic abilities, and the scientific community remains largely skeptical. Critics argue that positive results can often be explained by things like confirmation bias or poor experimental design. One of the biggest challenges in studying psychic abilities is replication. It's like trying to catch lightning in a bottle. What works in one study often doesn't work in another. And this inconsistency is a major sticking point for many scientists. But here's the thing. Even if the results aren't conclusive, the fact that serious scientists are studying these phenomena is pretty exciting stuff. It shows that we're still pushing the boundaries of what we understand about human consciousness and perception. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll crack the code and unlock the secrets of the clairs for everyone. Now, let's talk about some of the most common questions I've seen about psychic abilities. Here we go. What are psychic abilities? So we did cover this one earlier. Psychic abilities refer to a range of phenomena that allows individuals to perceive information beyond the normal human senses. This is abilities like clairvoyance, clairaudience, telepathy, clairtangency, and all the things. Can anyone develop psychic abilities? Yes. I believe we're all born with some or all of these abilities, but often lose touch with them along the way. Anyone can develop their psychic abilities with practice and focus, among other things, but we will talk about this one a little more later. What is the difference between psychic abilities and intuition? Now, it depends on who you ask. Intuition is often seen as a natural instinct or a gut feeling, where psychic abilities are seen as being more specific and may include extrasensory perception or communication with spiritual entities. To me, they go hand in hand, especially when we're talking about having psychic abilities. You can be tuned into your intuition, as in listening to your gut, but you may not be tuned into your psychic abilities. On the flip side, it is awfully hard to fine-tune your psychic abilities without being tuned into your intuition. I hope that makes sense. I think it's similar to every medium is a clairvoyant, but not every clairvoyant is a medium, if you know what I mean. All right, how do I know if I have psychic abilities? Well, you may experience some or all of the signs we talked about when we discussed the clairs. Signs of psychic abilities can include strong gut feelings, vivid dreams, a heightened sensitivity to other people's emotions, deja vu, and so much more. One of the things we've talked about in past episodes, and we will talk about more in this episode, is keeping a journal so that you can keep a detailed record of your experiences, and then you can talk to a professional who can provide guidance and point you in the right direction. One of the biggest things for me is that when you read through these experiences, you may start to connect things on your own or even validate things on your own, which I think is very cool. Are psychic abilities real or just a myth? Again, I think it depends on who you ask. As a person with abilities, I'm a believer. To me, someone who's tuned into their psychic abilities is the same as someone who is tuned into their athletic ability or someone who is tuned into their teaching ability. They've all tapped into an ability and worked to strengthen it. So I think having psychic abilities is as much of a myth as having athletic abilities, if you know what I mean. What is mediumship and how does it relate to psychic abilities? Mediumship is a specific type of psychic ability where people communicate with spirits of the deceased. Mediums often use a lot of the clairs to relay information, to relay messages from the spirit world. Can psychics predict the future? Yes, to an extent. So keep in mind that no one is 100% right all of the time. And I don't think it comes down to being right about the information. I think it's about relaying the information you receive during a reading and allowing the recipient to do with it what they will. So this information can certainly influence actions, but again, it's never 100% accurate. Also, this isn't meant for predicting the future. It's really to help someone on their life's journey, if you will. Are there risks associated with exploring psychic abilities? There are risks associated with anything you do. If you are interested in exploring your psychic abilities, know that it's a lifelong journey. It is not a destination. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, good, bad, and in between along the way. But I really find that this allows you to work on yourself and fine-tune your abilities. I highly suggest finding a trusted professional to work with to ensure your safety. There are a lot of unknowns out there in the metaphysical world, and you need to know what you're doing before you go and play in the dark, if you know what I mean. How do I know the difference between psychic abilities and mental illness? Okay, it is incredibly important to be respectful of each one, In order to maintain the best relationship possible with your abilities, I'm referring to clairs as abilities and mental illness as abilities. I advise you to work with trained and trusted professionals on both sides so that you can gather the best information and make informed decisions. The other thing I would suggest is before, during, and after working with your team of professionals in the metaphysical world and in the medical world, consider keeping a journal to document your psychic experiences and to see if there's a way for you to validate any of the information you're receiving. It could also help you to identify patterns between some or all of your experiences. Let's move on and talk about some common misconceptions that often lead to confusion and misunderstanding. So the first one is psychic abilities are supernatural powers. Well, a lot of people believe that psychic abilities are supernatural powers and exclusive to a select few. However, psychic phenomena exist to some degree in everyone. I truly believe that we are all born with it. To me, these abilities are more about heightened perception than supernatural powers. The next misconception is that only gifted individuals have psychic abilities. Again, no. This is all about practice. This is about honing your skills, your abilities. And like we said before, this is a journey, not a destination. You need to keep working on building your skills, and that's with things like meditation, that's journaling, that is taking classes, perhaps. There are all kinds of ways for you to develop your intuitive abilities, and we'll talk about some of those later. But is this exclusive to gifted individuals? No, absolutely not. The next misconception is that psychics can predict the future with 100% accuracy. So we talked about this one already, and no, that is not true, not even a little bit. I believe I've heard a statistic that says something like, psychic information is only accurate like 80% of the time or 75%. I don't remember the exact number, but while it's a large number, it's not 100%. None of this is 100% accurate. You're also talking about someone receiving information, and you're talking about that person relaying this information and then the recipient having to take this information and do something with it. So along the way, I do believe that things can be lost in translation. It just happens, but 100% accuracy, not a thing. The next misconception is that psychics are mind readers. Now, while some psychics may have telepathic abilities, they can't read every thought in someone's mind. And I really think instead that they pick up on general feelings or impressions, which can sometimes be misinterpreted as mind reading. The next misconception is that psychic abilities are always positive. Now, not all psychic experiences are pleasant or enlightening. If you have heard any of the OG episodes, then you know some of my history with this stuff. I had a lot of fear before I met Sophie. And even once I started developing my intuitive relationship with Sophie, I still had a lot of fear. Now I just get pissed off when things scare me. And then I just send everybody packing, but it's not all positive. But I do think that along the way, you can learn to set healthy boundaries and you can learn to properly protect yourself so that this is a safe practice for you. Our next misconception is that psychics can control their abilities at all times. Now, while a lot of psychics can manage their abilities, they may not always have control over when or how they receive information. So some may experience sudden insights or feelings without warning, which can make it challenging to predict when their abilities will be active. This, again, I think comes with time and experience and practice and all the things. As you develop your abilities, you learn different tricks of the trade and you have access to different resources to help you better control these things. Next up, psychics use tricks or deception. I would say yes and no, and it depends on who you are working with. There are some people out there who claim to have abilities and they do not. There are people out there who claim to have abilities and they genuinely do. If you're looking for someone to work with, do as much research as you possibly can. Look for reviews. See if you can contact other people who have worked with this person to get a good reading and a good review, a good rating from someone who has firsthand knowledge. Our last misconception is once you have a psychic reading, your future is set. This is a very common misconception that a psychic reading determines your fate, and it does not. In reality, readings really provide insights and guidance, but the recipient still has the power to make choices that shape their own destiny. So nothing is set in stone. We have free will, so we can make changes anytime we want. Can a reading influence the things that you do? Absolutely. But it does not set anything in stone. Now, this list is not all-encompassing, but I do hope that it helped to take some of the mystery out of things for you and clear some things up. If you do have questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We love to hear from you. Before we keep going, I just want to say Halloween is around the corner and we need your help. We want to have a fun and spooky October. And so we are asking that you please send in your episode suggestions, your spooky stories, and all the frightening things because we need all the scares. You can email us at hello@themediummatters.com or DM the show on Instagram at @themediummatters. Let's get spooky. Now back to the show. Okay, so this is what we've all been waiting for. Let's dive into the fascinating world of intuitive development. You have probably wondered how to tap into that mysterious gut feeling or develop your sixth sense. Well, you're in luck because I'm about to share 10 easy and practical ways to boost your intuitive abilities. So grab a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's unlock your inner abilities. Now, I don't think there's any mystery in what I'm about to say. I have a goal to get this into every episode. Or damn near every episode, and it is meditation. Yes, this is the intuitive super highway. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Meditation, again, here we go. Do I have to sit forever and ever? Can't I just bypass meditation? Listen, meditation is so incredibly important. This quiets the mind. This brings focus. This brings clarity. It brings growth. It brings healing. The benefits just go on and on and on. Let's just take intuitive development off the table. Everything else that meditation can do for you is just mind-blowing. But when we're talking about developing your intuition, it is important for you to go through this growing process to learn to sit with yourself, to learn to listen to your body, to learn how to read your body, to learn how to identify the thoughts that you're having. And we're not talking about just clearing your mind and having a blank slate. We're talking about noticing what you're thinking about and starting to develop patterns. This is where you can meet your guides in meditation. This is where you can connect with people who have crossed over. This is where you can travel and do things like astral projection and all kinds of cool things. But listen, find a quiet spot, close your eyes, focus on your breathing, and just give your intuition a microphone. Listen to what's coming through, the whispers, the insights, and all the things. We did an entire month on meditation. The month of March 2024 was all meditation minisodes. We talked about all kinds of meditation styles. So there's something in there that is bound to help you. There are a lot of meditation apps available. If you don't want to pay for something, go to YouTube. YouTube is my go-to. There are a lot of fantastic channels there that do guided meditations. There are also just channels with music, so you can just listen to music for free, and it is wonderful. Moving on, I would encourage you to trust your gut. This is the intuitive gym. Now, start small. Maybe decide on what you're going to have for lunch based on your gut feeling. Then gradually work your way up to bigger decisions. It's like building a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. Next up, we talked about this one already, but keep an intuition journal. Now, this is you channeling your inner Bridget Jones. This is where you want to write down your gut feelings, your hunches, your random thoughts. This is where you want to write down your psychic experiences. You smelled roses and you were nowhere near a bouquet of flowers. You heard a whisper and you were alone. You heard a song that was in alignment with the current situation that you found yourself in. All of these things are wonderful to record in your journal. You can also write down your dreams. And again, like I've said before, go back through and reread after a period of time and see if you can start connecting dots. See if there is anything in there that you can now validate that just didn't make sense at the time. But a journal, chef's kiss. Next on my list is nature walks. Now, based on the story I just told you about the guidance that Sophie had given us to connect with nature and to sit with the flowers and the trees and all the things. I mean, look at where that experience got me. Are you going to go into nature, put your hands on the grass and see into the history of the grass or the history of the earth. Maybe, but also maybe not. But there is something incredibly magic about connecting with nature. There is so much beauty and magic in nature alone. But when you are taking regular walks in nature and you're getting away from the hustle and bustle of daily life, this is where things can really come into focus for you. Pay attention to what you notice. The bird that keeps showing up, the shape of a cloud, the way the wind feels. Nature tends to speak in symbols, and your intuition is the translator, my loves. Next on my list is body scans. Try doing regular body scans. Close your eyes and mentally scan from head to toe, noticing any sensations. That knot in your stomach when you think about a decision, that's your intuition sending you a message. This is something you can also do in meditation to try to connect with your body, but it is a really great way to start building your intuition. Next up is dream journaling. So I swear our dreams are like our subconscious mind's attempt at playing charades. Keep a dream journal by your bed and write down your dreams as soon as you wake up. Over time, you might start noticing patterns or symbols that relate to your waking life. It is really like having a direct line to your intuition while you sleep. It is incredible. My next tip is to practice mindfulness. So try to be present in your daily activities. Really take the time to taste your food. Feel the water on your skin when you're in the shower. Listen to the sounds around you. The more present you are, the easier it is for your intuition to get a word in edgewise. My next tip, and one of the funnest ones that I did while I was trying to build my intuition, and I actually still do it to this day, play intuitive games. What I mean by this is try guessing who's calling before you check your phone, or what card will be drawn next when you're playing a game. Don't worry about being right all the time. This is just for practice. The practice counts. Think of it as your daily psychic workout. Right now, I am in a phase where I am playing Sudoku on my phone. Why am I obsessed? I don't know. But here's what I like to do. I like to look at a series of squares and try to guess which number is supposed to go in that square. And what I mean by this is if you've played Sudoku, say you are working on the threes and you're trying to fill in all the threes. When you get to a certain quadrant, you're like, oh man, the three could go in this square or it could go in this square. I have two or three different options. So I like to try to play a game to get a sense for where this number is supposed to go. And you know what? Listen, more times than not, I'm actually right. And sometimes I am not right. It's like, are psychics 100% right all the time? Absolutely not. You know, let my Sudoku guesswork be the example here. But playing these games is so much fun. My next tip is to declutter your life. Really, decluttering your physical space and your schedule here. The less mental chatter you have, the easier it is for your intuition to whisper, to talk to you, to say all the things it's been dying to say. So decluttering is important for so many reasons, but really for building your intuition, think of this like intuitive feng shui. Next, I encourage you to just trust the process. Patience is intuition's BFF. Developing your intuition is like growing a garden. It takes time, patience, and consistent care. Some days you're going to feel super intuitive, and other days, listen, not so much. And that is totally normal. Just keep at it, and before you know it, you'll be picking up on things you never noticed before. My next tip is to work with trained professionals. Connect with people who teach intuitive development and have been there and done that, because it will make your journey so much easier. Next, call on your guides. Your guides are here to help you. All you have to do is ask. Let them know you want to develop your intuition and seek their guidance. They will help you. My next tip is to work with divination tools. So divination tools are great for validating information, especially early on in your journey. Break out your pendulum, your tarot cards, or whatever tool resonates with you, and ask for validation whenever you need it. Next, I encourage you to set clear intentions about your purpose and the things you want to accomplish. I think of it as a little conversation with the universe. It's important to know your why and to make your spiritual team aware. This will take you far. My last tip is to join a community of like-minded friends to help you on your journey. There really is nothing quite like being one with your people. The right squad leaves you feeling seen, heard, and supported. And it's so nice to have a space like that when you're traveling the metaphysical road, or any road, really. Find your tribe, baby. Just remember that developing your intuition isn't about becoming a crystal ball gazing psychic, you know, but how cool would that be? It's really about tuning into your inner wisdom, making better decisions, and living a more authentic life. So try these techniques and see how they work for you. And who knows, you might just discover you are way more intuitive than you ever imagined. So as we wrap up our exploration of psychic abilities, it is important to touch on the ethical considerations in this field. Whether you are a practitioner or a client, there are essential things that you need to keep in mind. First and foremost, honesty and integrity. Psychic practitioners should be transparent about the nature of their abilities and the limitations of their practice. Do not oversell anything. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Next, whenever you're doing readings or giving out predictions, these should empower clients to make their own decisions, not dictate their choices. My next tip here is to do no harm. Psychic information should not be used to manipulate, frighten, or exploit vulnerable individuals. Really, it shouldn't be used to manipulate, frighten, or exploit anyone at all. Remember, karma is a thing. Next, personal information shared during readings should be kept strictly confidential. This is not for you to give out to anyone. Next up, encourage clients to maintain a healthy skepticism and to seek professional help for medical, legal, and psychological issues. My next tip, don't force anyone to participate in a reading and do not read anyone without their permission. I know on TV, we see psychics run around the grocery store and they just run up to someone and say, hey, did you lose a brother named, I'm getting a J? Is it Jimmy? Is it James? Is it George with a J? It's cool on TV, but a lot goes into that behind the scenes. Don't force it on anyone. Wait to be asked. You may not have a professional practice where you are doling out readings all day long, but if you are among your friends, your family, whoever it is, wait for them to ask you for a reading, or if you know of someone who can give them a reading. And if it's not you, maybe you can point them in the right direction. The important thing to remember is just to be mindful of your abilities, be mindful of how you use them. You are not here to control anyone. You're not here to cast spells and make people do things that you want them to do. You're not here to force anyone to do specific things. It's none of those things. These are just ways to help yourself and help other people. So just be respectful and remember, karma's a thing. Okay, my beautiful friend, that is our episode. This was such a fun episode to do. I thoroughly enjoyed re-researching the Clairs and the history and all the things. I am so grateful that you joined me on this journey into the world of psychic abilities. And above everything, I really hope that this episode sparked your curiosity and encouraged you to think about these intriguing Clairs, these abilities. If you enjoyed this episode, and I really hope that you did, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Send us your spooky stories and questions on Instagram, Facebook, or via email at hello@themediummatters.com. Head over to themediummatters.com/newsletter to join our absolutely free monthly newsletter, where we talk about upcoming moon cycles, rituals for the seasons, everyday magic, and so much more. Don't forget, our new month, September, is coming up. We have a new moon, we have a full moon, we have all the beautiful magic, so make sure that you are ready, get your rituals ready, get your journal ready, set your intentions. We are coming in hot. Until next time, this is Chantel with The Medium Matters, reminding you to be the magic. I will see you next time.